Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The mantras on page one, and we read them together. We'd go kind of slow and try to read them all, read them together. And yeah, page one, the introduction. Om Agyan Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa tadamayam tadati sva padantikam vandeham shri guru shri juta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrijatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Kuruna Sindha Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavana Suttirevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakoppa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, we'll do page 695, chapter 18, verse number 55. Pick the book up off the floor. We don't keep the books on the floor.
Excuse me, what verse number?
Chapter 18, verse 55. The way we do it is, I say a line, like Pachamam Abhijananti, I say that, and then you repeat it after me. Then I say the next line, you repeat that after me, and so on. And then I'll tell you what comes in. Pachamam Abhijananti.
Pachamam Abhijananti.
Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha.
Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha.
Tato mam tatvato gyatva Vishate tadanantaram Bhaktya mam abhijanati Yavanyaschasmi tatvataha Tato mam tatvato gyatva Vishate tad anantaram Bhaktyamam abhijanati Yavanyas chasmi tatvataha Tato mam tatvato gyatva Vishate tad anantaram Now one at a time, you do it, and then we all repeat. You want to start?
Bhakya-mabhijanati
Bhakya-mabhijanati
Javane
Understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Now I say a phrase, then you repeat after me, same way. One can understand me as I am.
One can understand me as I am.
As the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
As the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Only by devotional service.
Only by devotional service.
And when one is in full consciousness of me.
By such devotion.
He can enter into the kingdom of God. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation, nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, he is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with the Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Becoming Brahman does not mean that one loses his identity. Devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Such knowledge is never vanquished.
Even after liberation. Even after liberation, liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life into spiritual life. The same disconnection, distinctly, the same neutrality is there, but in pure Krishna consciousness, one should not mistakenly think the word incidentally, fourth the monastery that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No, this day means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one individual to engage in his associate and render service unto him. For instance, a green bird enters a green tree not to become one with the tree but to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Personalist generally gives the example of a river flowing into the ocean and merging. This may be a source of happiness for the impersonalist, but the personalist keeps his personal integrity like an aquatic in the ocean. We find so many living entities within the ocean. If we go deep, surface acquaintance with the ocean is not sufficient. One must have complete knowledge of the aquatic living in the ocean depth. Because of this pure devotional service, a devotee can understand the transitional qualities and the opulence of the Supreme Lord in truth. As it is stated in the 11th chapter, only by devotional service can one understand. The same is confirmed here. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service and enter into his kingdom. After attainment of the Brahmabhuta stage of freedom from material conception, devotional service begins by one hearing about the Lord. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahmabhuta stage dwells, and material contamination, greediness, and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desire disappear from the heart of a devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord, and by such attachment he becomes free from material contamination. In that state of life he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. After liberation, the process of bhakti or transitional service continues. The Vedanta Sutra confirms this. This means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as a reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is part and parcel, fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service is never stopped. Actual liberation is getting free from misconception of life.
Okay. Now I talk a little bit, and then if there's questions at the end, you can the well, first I'll start with, I mean, is everyone here familiar with our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami? I know you are. Are you familiar with Prabhupada? Are you? No, a little bit?
I've seen that.
Okay. But he left India when, in 1965 when he was 70 years old, and he came to the United States on a steamership, took a couple months, and he had heart attacks on the way over, and he didn't have any money, and he didn't know anyone here. He had one contact, a son of a friend of his from India, gave him, you know, some whatever he needed to come. And he had him stay in his house for a couple of months, and then. But he didn't know anybody. He didn't have any money. Didn't know anybody, and he was 70 years old. So, nobody does that, unless they're. Nobody does that. If you're going to travel at all, especially if you're elderly, you don't go to a place that's completely unknown to you, with no money and not knowing anything, right? I wouldn't do it. But Prabhupada did it because he was preaching on the order of his spiritual master to come to the Western world and preach the glories of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Harinam Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large. And it's specifically recommended in the age of Kali for deliverance of the fallen souls. We're fallen souls. We live in this material world and we suffer from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. And we're so many difficulties in this world that we all know very well. We're just in our own lives and looking around us at family and in the world in general. Everybody knows that this material world is a place of so much difficulty. So that we don't belong here. We belong with Krishna in our original home in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. And Krishna is talking about that here. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And he can enter into the kingdom of God. That we can go back home, back to Godhead, where we're meant to be. We don't belong here. We're not meant to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. So this knowledge, the transcendental knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, was not known at all in the United States or anywhere in the world, practically, except India. And even in India, the influence of Kali is there, so it's like in this verse, Prabhupada, in the purport, Prabhupada talks so much about the impersonal view, which is prevalent in everywhere, in India and everywhere, that people think that liberation means that you give up your spirit, your identity, you're no longer an individual person, and God is no longer an individual. But it's one. You merge with the one, and that's called impersonalism or the Mayavadi conception of the absolute truth. So that's a contamination of it's a misconception, but a very prevalent and powerful misconception all over the world in Kali Yuga that people are confused. They don't know that Krishna, God, is always a person, and we are always individuals. And the only way you can know Krishna and become pure and self-realized soul is to serve Krishna only in devotional service. It's just like, and it's very easy to understand, very common sense. It's just like if you meet somebody, if a man meets a woman, he likes her, he wants to get to know her, he wants to marry her. The woman likes the man. They have to serve each other. It's not like she's a person and I'm a person, but when we get, when we realize each other, then our personalities will disappear and we'll merge together, we'll just be one, whatever it is. And nobody wants that. Who wants that? Or you have kids and you think, oh, we're all, it's all one. Well, I'm one with the kids, that we don't, there's no separate individuality. Nobody likes that, but nobody wants that conception in regards to our personal relationships. But that, but somehow or other, we think that when it comes to understanding God or relating to God, that that's what it should be, that there's no personality anymore, just we merge and we become one. So that, it's, Prabhupada preaches against that all the time, because it's such a detrimental idea to our spiritual development. I'm eternally a person, you're eternally a person, Krishna is eternally a person, and we relate to Krishna eternally in a loving relationship. You can't have a loving relationship with a non person or with energy. That's like there's some energy from that life. So can you have a loving relationship with that life? No. Thank you. And you can't have a loving relationship, or your car engine. Of course, people show crazy about their cars these days. People love their cars. But you can't have a relationship with the energy that's produced by your car. It's not rational. It's not reasonable. But you have a personal relationship with another person. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and we have an eternal relationship with him, which we have forgotten. And the whole point of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, to everything that we do here, we worship the deities, the deity form of Krishna on the altar is Krishna. The Krishna, when you chant the name, which the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we associate with Krishna in his name. Prabhupada always gives the example of this, like if you're very thirsty and you chant the name, you chant water, water, water. You just chant water. You can chant water, water, water from now until eternity, and your thirst will never go away. You'll just get more thirsty because you're using your voice and you're still not drinking water. So you just get more thirsty. Because the water, the substance, and the name water are different. If I'm outside and I call your name and I say your name, you're still inside. I'm outside speaking your name and you don't know I'm speaking your name, and there's no effect. But because you're different from your name, you and your name are different. But Krishna is Krishna. The name Krishna and Krishna are Krishna. Krishna is present, is his name. Krishna is absolute. It's like I'm not this body. This body is a lump of matter. It comes out of the dirt. The food that we eat comes from the dirt. We eat the food. The food turns into the body. So the body is nothing but dirt, transformed. So, but we're not dirt. But we are spirit soul. You are a person. So it's just the same thing. But Krishna is his body. Krishna, the spiritual form, Krishna's form, with Mother Yashoda, or with the gopis, or with the cowherd boys, the gopis in Vrindavan. Krishna is his body. His form is completely spiritual. So these are things that have to be known. And if we want to relate to Krishna, we have to approach him in devotional service. That's the only way you can know anyone in this world. If you, it's like Prabhupada says here, university degrees are of no use in understanding Krishna. You can study books, like if I study a book about you, if somebody writes a book about you, and I read the book, and I know where you live and what you like to eat, and I know all kinds of things about you, But does that help me know you?
No.
It gives me information about you. But in order to know you, I would have to visit you at your house, become friends with you. You know, we have to do stuff together. I have to talk to you and find out what's on your mind. You have to get to know me. And we don't trust each other in the beginning. When you're beginning a relationship, each person is testing the other person, not in a gross way, but subtly. We're always testing each other, especially if it's meant to be some kind of intimate relationship, a husband or wife or something. Each person is testing each other. If I act like this, how is he going to respond? Or if I act like this, how is she going to respond? So we're always so we have to relate, and if the person is satisfied with you, then they'll let you into the secrets, the mysteries of their personality. They'll let you know them. You can't know somebody unless they let you know them. So the same thing is true with Krishna, with God. We have to be admitted into the secrets of Krishna's personality. And the only way that can happen is if we serve him in devotional service. And in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, just try to learn the truth by approaching a self-realized, a bona fide spiritual master. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So Prabhupada, that's the system that Krishna sets up. Krishna says, you want to know me, you have to go through my devotee. You have to approach a spiritual master in disciplic succession, and in that way you can know me. That's the way Krishna wants it done. And Krishna makes the rules. So we have to live by, we have to do it in the prescribed way. Like so many people these days, they say like, oh, I don't need any priest, I don't need any rabbi, I don't need any minister. I talk to God directly, and he talks to me. There's people who say that. They say, yes, I wake up in the morning and I talk to God, and God answers me. That's a very puffed up attitude. I wake up in the morning, and if I feel like talking to the president of India, I just call him up and I demand that he answer the phone, and I have some things I have to talk to you about, and you have to talk to me. That's ridiculous. You can't demand that you talk to the president. You can't demand that you talk to anybody. So why should we think that, I don't need any intermediary. I can go to God directly and he should talk to me. But it's not like that. We have to approach Krishna in the prescribed way through his representative, his bona fide representative. It even says in the Vishnu Purana that the person who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but the person who says he's the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. And Prabhupada gives a couple more points, then I'll finish. Prabhupada gives the example that if you're walking along the street and you see like some rich guy walking down the street and he's with his little kid, his little son or daughter, and if you just go up and try to talk to the guy directly, he'll be like, come on, you know, I got no time for you. I'm a big important guy. I don't have to talk to you. But if you please the son, the grandson or the grandson, but Prabhupada says by giving him a little piece of candy, then the rich man, very powerful, will be pleased with you, and then he'll be inclined. It's a rough example, but it's an analogy. But that's the system how we approach Krishna. We approach Krishna through his dear servant. If someone is already a pure devotee, dear servant of Krishna, then anyone who pleases that person will please Krishna. One final point I just wanted to make is that it's like we start the class always with reading the, most devotees don't know how to read the original Devanagari, but there are some who can read that. But Prabhupada presented all his books in a way that after the original script comes a phonetic pronunciation of it, so that anyone can pronounce the word. It's like I'm familiar with the pronunciation, but I can't read the original script. But it's not that we're meant to be, that Prabhupada insisted that we become Sanskrit scholars, although there are quite a few Indian and other and American and European disciples who have become very proficient in Sanskrit structure and everything, very scholarly devotees. But most devotees, we're not expected to be that, but Prabhupada expected us to be able to read and learn a lot of the meanings, the translations of the words, and then he presents it with a smooth translation, and then the purport. Because Prabhupada considered it crucial that we have a very, very strong philosophical foundation for everything that we do. Bhakti is pure emotion, but devotion, bhakti, devotional service. But in our neophyte state, we have to be very strong philosophically. We have to learn who Krishna is, what our relationship with Krishna is, how to approach Krishna. So many aspects of Vaishnava philosophy. So he expected us to be scholarly in that sense, and to especially learn, study his purports, in which he reveals the meaning of Krishna's words and the words. And it's just like if I go to you, I like this example. If I go to your house, let's say I'm a friend of yours, and I go to the house of a family, and I'm friends with them. But I go to their house, and we're like eating dinner or something, or talking, and the husband and wife are talking back and forth, the kids and the parents are talking back and forth, and I understand the language. I know the language. I can understand what they're saying. I know the language, but I won't know what only the intimate members of the family can understand really what's being said. The words are one thing, but the husband is talking to the wife, and they know each other so well that the husband might say one thing, and I'll hear him say that, and I'll think, oh, I know what he's saying. But the wife will know that, oh, he's really saying something completely different. I won't know that, because all I know is the language. So it's the same with the kids talking to the parents. They only if you're in that family. I might be a really good friend of yours, but I won't really understand what's going on unless I'm an intimate member of the family. So the same thing with Krishna. Krishna, the only way to actually to know what Krishna says and really understand what Krishna says is to learn about him from someone who is already an intimate associate of Krishna, someone who knows not only the words, not only what Krishna said, but the intention, the meaning, the deep meaning behind everything that Krishna said. So I'll stop there if there's any questions. after that and go up and have prasad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hey, all glories.